What's up, guys? I'm sitting here with a hot chocolate and the laundry going in the background. Hopefully it serves as like an ASMR type of deal where it lulls you to sleep or hypnotizes you into giving me all your money so I can reinvest it in the community. Isn't that what all people with money say? Anyway, that's not the point of this. The point of what I want to say today is I want people to share this, and I want people to share their stories with me, and it's kind of like the story of my life, because today and things approaching today are like a big deal for me. I was born on the lower west side of Cleveland at Metro Hospital in Ohio. It's a pretty poor area. I didn't have money growing up. I lived on a house on West 73rd between Clark and Lorraine for 16 years. We didn't have yards, really, in these neighborhoods, right? Like, there's a parking lot across the street that everyone illegally parked in. It was like a auto place. And everyone just parked their cars there because there was nowhere else to park them. Our house didn't even have a driveway. We rented... we were a four-household family. We rented the downstairs of a split-level home that was falling apart. Had one of those basements that, you know, you never wanted to go down into, because there's like multiple flights of stairs and there's multiple rooms and it was unfinished and smelled and there were spiders and bugs and animals. And the guy upstairs was in his 40s and drove an ice cream truck. It was just all very... weird. I remember just like the yard that we had was like a small square, and then on the side of the house there was a, it stretched the entire length, and we used to go out there and we would hit tennis balls on top of the Spanish speaking church across the street. The corner store, they, you know, when I was a kid, they would sell me cigarettes for my parents. Even though I was five, I'd go there to get a WWE wrestling bar ice cream and some 3D Cool Ranch Doritos and get my parents some cigarettes. Across the street from that was a bar. My father used to take me there when he would go get drunk during the day. Two houses down from that, my uncle exploded his home and tried to kill himself. We didn't have public transportation. We didn't have private. I didn't have like a school bus. I had to get on the public transit system and take it from age 8 on. That's just kind of how it worked. My father was an alcoholic, and it eventually led to cancer, which killed him this year. Both my parents, you know, my mom, teenage mother, my dad, a teenage father, drugs and alcohol were a part of their life. The extended family members, unfortunately, uneducated, drug addicts, criminals. Just a handful of years ago, a cousin of mine overdosed on Oxycontin and died. Heroin. His brother, addicted to it. Who were they shooting up with? Their mother. While their father's in prison. These are the sorts of things that went on around us that was, you know, normal. It's normal for a lot of people in these neighborhoods. And I remember being really young and not really being understanding what money was, like rich and poor. I thought everyone, you know, kind of lived like we did. I didn't think a suburb, I didn't know what that was. I'd never been there. It was hard. I always just imagined like millionaires, there was just a handful of them, and they lived in some place far away that we wouldn't even know about. And I just thought that's the way life was. Now, I got extremely lucky that when I was in eighth grade, a private high school selected me to be the only recipient of a scholarship where they paid full tuition for me to go to high school for 4 years. At the time, it was between $7,000 and $8,000 a year. So I was lucky enough to get into a private high school where there was a lot of money. A lot of ignorance, My first day of high school, I had two kids come up to me and ask me if I was from Cleveland. And when I said yeah, they asked me if I could get them drugs. They didn't even know me. And high school was hard for me because, you know, I grew up with a certain group of people who were from Cleveland. A lot of them didn't go to private schools. They went to the very, very bad public education system in Cleveland. And I was going to school with a lot of people with money who I had no connection with. What did I have in common with these people? And so I ended up not, you know, kind of being not cool enough anymore for the people I'd grown up with. And I wasn't cool enough, I guess, for the kids in the high school. Because I came from somewhere else. I was another in a lot of ways. To the point where I remember I went to the IX Indoor Amusement Park, which is a bootleg. It's an indoor amusement park near Cleveland. It's kind of, you know, I went there with two of my friends that I'd made in high school, and someone that I was really good friends with growing up was there with two of their friends. Now, this person went to a public school now, and essentially, they wanted to fight me, or jump me, I guess, for no other reason than, in that instance, they felt like the other. They felt like I had something that they didn't, right? Or something they wanted. Or just frustration and anger. But it was things like that. Now luckily I had found writing already as an outlet. So it helped me get through a lot of the tough times, even though I look back now and I'm like, man, I wasn't very good. You know, when you're younger, it kind of doesn't matter. It's more about escaping what's inside your head at a lot of points. Yeah, and then, you know, I took writing seriously. I've been lucky enough to live in several beautiful places and get to meet a lot of great people. And on January 15th, my first novel gets published. I've had close now to over 70 short stories published and received some recognition for writing. But it's a very unique feeling to sort of reach a goal you've been working for so long that, and I don't mean this as a slight to people, but a lot of my close friends, like, they don't read my writing. They don't care about my writing. No one, like, outside of me, it feels like for a long time, no one besides me cared. And, so it's sort of like achieving a dream that only you had, that no one else had. Didn't mean they didn't help you get there, but, you know, it's been a long, tough road, and I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and it just feels, you know, in therapy, what they tried to teach me, which I think I've learned, I think this might be proof of it, is, you know, it's building towards at least just like a day, a semblance of happiness, of knowing that I can put my mind to something. And if you've made it this far, I think it's really cool that you listened. And what I want to hear is I want to hear other people's stories. I want to know what your life's been like and what are you celebrating today? Because I think that that's kind of how you get through life. We face a lot more defeats in life than successes. That's not an original thought. That's just, you know, you wake up in the morning. Think about everything you do every day. It's simple as getting up out of the bed, brushing your teeth, using the bathroom, you know, making coffee. Do you spill some? Do you not spill some? Do you get your laundry done? Do you get your homework done? Is everything taken care of? Did you vacuum? What are you going to have for dinner? Everything is a battle. And so, you know, every day you're losing more than winning. But on the days, some days you win real big. And for me, January 15th is a win big day. And I just wanted to share that with people. And I want to share in other people's successes. So nationofbootleggers@gmail.com. You can record something. You can send it in. You don't have to put your name. You don't have to share anything substantial about like who you are. You can just tell your story. And I'll listen. And I think that's like the most important thing. Someone's listening.